listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
We're going to start here on Straight Out of Vegas in the NFL, where somebody got paid earlier today, and that somebody is Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas agreeing to a reported five-year, $100 million deal, $61 million of it guaranteed. I don't think it's a surprise they got the deal done. They've been talking, trying to work on this for a while now, but the Saints, Fez, do bring back their all-pro wide receiver Michael Thomas.
Yeah, and he is so important, Thomas is, to that offense. You look at the number two and number three wide receivers, Tre'Quan Smith, Ted Ginn. They absolutely needed Thomas to set the field up such that they could dink and dunk to Kamara, and he could get all of his yards, and he's so critical to that offense. I've got Michael Thomas, my number seventh rated wide receiver in the league, Jonas, but he's worth one full point. Now the listeners are thinking, wow, just 1 point? Well, 1 point's actually a lot for any non-quarterback position player in the NFL.
And so do you have the, just so people are aware, do you have your wide receiver rankings in the NFL, 1 through 8? If you do, if you've got Michael Thomas at 7, who either do you have ahead of him or behind him that people might raise their eyebrows to?
Yeah, so ahead of him, Smith-Schuster for Pittsburgh at number 6. And Antonio Brown at number 8 for Oakland. A little bit worried about Brown at age 31, what his production will be.
And a lot of this, too, people may look at that and go, what are you talking about? I mean, Michael Thomas has put up these numbers for X amount of years, but there is another aspect to this, and it's what do you have around you? And what you have around you is a quarterback that seems to be showing his age, and Drew Brees a little more so than Ben Roethlisberger. So when I look at this deal for Michael Thomas, I'm not surprised it got done. The fact that it got done, good for the Saints. He gets paid. We're all good here. He's a great player. No issues off the field. Yeah, he hides cell phones in goalposts. Big deal. You know, that's not a problem at all. But I look at this and go, how much of this is going to look like the Odell Beckham contract with the New York Giants? Because Odell Beckham's contract with the New York Giants all of a sudden didn't make much sense a couple of games into the season when they realized Eli Manning just can't get him in the offense and involved the way that he should be. Odell Beckham pulled, put it together later on in the year and started having better games. But early on, it was a real struggle, and that contract looked like a bad one for the New York Giants based on who the quarterback is. How does this contract age in New Orleans for Michael Thomas, Fez?
I think it's going to age okay, and here's why. You're absolutely right, Jonas. Major concerns about Drew Brees. He's 40, and what have we seen about quarterbacks that turn 40? Oftentimes, they fall off the cliff. Obviously, we saw it with Manning. Obviously, he was an MVP candidate, and then 2 years later, he's out of the league, and yep. This is not unprecedented. Brett Favre, same situation, where they go from an MVP year to a really down year, and then they retire. However, what the Saints have going for them, I do have those concerns about Brees, and he certainly played poorly the last 4 games of the season last year. His shoulder strength is questioned. Was that an injury? Is that him just having too many birthdays? But I like the fact you got Teddy Bridgewater behind him, so it's not like a situation where the Saints don't have a quarterback that they could go to. And further, because Brees is 40, it's not like Eli when he was 36, and it's really awkward making a change. going ahead and having a 40 or 41-year-old quarterback and looking to make a transition a lot easier.
And an established coach who coaches up quarterbacks really well and does a good job and isn't, you know, a lot of people, a well-respected offensive mind still to this day in the NFL. Here's, and also the aspect of Teddy Bridgewater and why he came back. A couple of years ago when Josh McDaniels was up for the Indianapolis Colts job, and the Indianapolis Colts, the crybabies of the AFC, because they've been the welcome mat as the Patriots walk into a Super Bowl every year, so they bitch and moan, and they claim deflated footballs, and they cry and whine, because that's what the Indianapolis Colts do. They start releasing that Josh McDaniels is their head coach, when he didn't even sign the contract. And Josh McDaniels left them at the altar and went back to New England. And everybody focused on, man, he just burnt every bridge in the NFL. He's never going to get a gig now. Nobody's going to hire Josh McDaniels. I took a step back and said, hold on. If he walked away from another head coaching position, it had to have been for a good reason. And something, and I always believe that he was told something by the New England Patriots, that something along the lines of, listen, because of the Rooney Rule and other things involved with this, we can't officially say this is yours when Belichick steps down, but come back and trust us, this is yours when Belichick steps down. I think that's what happened with Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater could have been the starting quarterback in Miami, and we'll get to who the starting quarterback in Miami is coming up later in the show, because it's a little bit surprising, and then you think about it and it's not all that surprising. Teddy Bridgewater could be a starter in this league. The fact that he went back to New Orleans, I think, tells me that he gets the impression that there's going to be an opportunity maybe sooner rather than later to take over the helm.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. And frankly, the wise guys have concerns about the Saints, and they have concerns about Breeze. And yeah, Bridgewater's a really good backup quarterback, but I still have Drew Breeze being 5 points better than Teddy Bridgewater right now. And if we're already talking about a possible transition, then there's a red flag to how the Saints will do. Even with the Thomas signing today, the wise guys have been betting against the Saints. Their season win number's 10.5, Jonas, but all the money has been on the under 10.5, a big part of this. And I want to ask Daryl about his impression here, our producer. Daryl, I feel there's a real chance for a Saints hangover from the past two playoffs, the loss to the Vikings 2 years ago, and the Rams loss, where they're still filing local lawsuits for pain and suffering those who attended the game. Daryl, how do you get past that without there being an impact?
I'm telling you, man, having watched this team for years and years and years, being in that same division with the Atlanta Falcons, that team has a heart of that pumps strong cement, bro. They're going to come out and they're going to respond with this. They're going to use that as fuel. One thing about that, it starts at the top, and it comes from Sean Payton, and it goes all the way down. And that team has his identity. Watch and see. They will not let up this year.
Yeah, but it seems like they're still not over that game from last year. I get
it. They won't get over it.
Listen, I get it. It's a terrible call, and you know that could have been maybe Drew Brees' last chance to get to a Super Bowl and have a chance to compete for another championship. But good God, man. At some point, you got to move on. And guess what? If that play had happened in the first quarter and not the fourth quarter, nobody's talking about it. There were plenty of opportunities for them to win that game, and they didn't get it done. They got screwed, yes. But sooner or later, you got to move on. And they're still not moving on. People are still crying about it.
They're not just crying about it. They still have their local lawsuit for the $75,000 against Roger Goodell. And I love their case. Under the NFL rules, Roger Goodell has to ensure that the games are played fairly. If they are not, he must remedy a solution. So the Saints fans clearly feel that game was not played fairly. I'm with you, Jonas. Calls are going to be for you and against you. Let's just move on.
And Fez, you remember that game. In watching that game early on when there was turnovers and the Rams were giving the ball away and New Orleans had a chance to make a statement early in that game and they couldn't get the ball in the end zone. And that to me is where that game took on a different tone, and the Rams just hung around and hung around and hung around, and it was Drew Brees' interception late that ended up costing them. I mean, they can point to one play all they want, but it's, you've got to take a look around and go, man, that was not the best played game. And keep in mind, that was also the same Saints team that was down two scores to Nick Foles the week before in a hurry. So it's not like they were running through teams last year and got screwed. They were in some tough battles. And so I would lean more towards Fez on this. It feels like they're going to take a step back. You could look, you can only get kneed in the groin so many times before you got to take a seat and just catch your breath. They've been kneed in the groin twice in the postseason. The Minneapolis Miracle, which was devastating, and then you had that happen a year ago. It feels like they're going to take a step back, Fez. It's the way it feels like to me.
And I agree with you, Jonas. And let's face it, that Saints team that demolished my Bengals, what was that, like 112-7? I've forgotten, you know, the score in the jungle. Boy, that was ugly. But come December, Breeze was not the same quarterback, and that was a big part of why you nailed it in the playoffs. They should have been up 21-0 against the Rams. The Rams played a horrendous first half, and they were only able to get a modest double-digit lead, not enough. And I think a big part of that was that Drew Breeze, his slump in December, he was not awful in the playoffs, but he was not Drew Brees in the playoffs.
How big of a loss is Mark Ingram to that offense?
I think it's a big deal because Kamara is so dynamic and the passes that he catches out of the backfield and he turns, and this is kind of a wise guy secret, an analytics darling secret, where if you can throw on first down to your running backs, it's so much more effective than running the ball. But when you have that two-headed monster, that really helps the number of touches for Kamara. And now that he has to be, you know, the feature back instead of one of two, that could absolutely, it might increase his overall production, but decrease Kamara's efficiency.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Andrew Luck missed an entire season, multiple surgeries, took a bit of a pounding early in his career because the offensive line play was not the best. And Andrew Luck has another issue, and the issue is dealing with a calf problem that's been going on for longer than anybody realized. Andrew Luck spoke about it at Colts practice yesterday.
I've had images and x-rays and everything, and my Achilles is not at extra risk. There is no tear or swelling in there. I know to be the best quarterback I want to be, to help this team like I want to help them. I'm not looking for average. And if I'm going out here with pain, I'll be average. I will feel like an average quarterback, and I'll be an average quarterback. That's not good enough for me. That's not good enough for this club.
All right, Steve Fezzik. Andrew Luck, who to this day, in fact, watch. People think I'm crazy when I say this. I'm gonna throw to it and tell me if I'm wrong. All right, so we have the Andrew Luck sound still queued up. All right, so here was Andre the Giant talking about Andrew Luck's injury.
I've had images and x-rays and everything, and my Achilles is not that.
That's Andre the Giant. I swear to God. People can dispute that all they want. That is Andre the Giant reincarnated, okay?
I am not going to do an Andre the Giant impression because RJ says I will be banned from the show. I will say that Andre, of course, played the character Fezzik in the loved movie The Princess Bride.
That is true. Oh, that is. I didn't even think about that. Oh yeah, Fezzik. See, it all ties together. I knew that, Fez. All right. So, in all seriousness, Andrew Luck, and I was being serious. He does sound like Andre the Giant, but his injury issue for the Indianapolis Colts. How concerned are you, Fez, as the season is coming up in a little over a month?
I am concerned, and the reason for my concern is I hate to say a guy is a slow. A guy has trouble coming back from injuries because every injury is different, right? But Luck, he's got a long history. I know lacerated kidney, that sounds pretty serious, but that knocked him out for the rest of 2015. Yep. Did come back from a concussion in 2016, but this shoulder injury, initially he had this apparently in 2015, and we saw it just recurring over and over, and he just never recovered in 2017, finally diagnosed as a labrum, and he winds up missing the entire year. And doesn't this seem a little eerily similar, where that shoulder really wasn't that big of a concern? I remember the Colts were lined at 10 wins that season for a long time before Vegas finally took that off the board, and of course the Colts had a disastrous year when Luck could not go.
I always am a little bit hesitant to buy what they're selling when they're so ready and willing to talk about what's going on. Like John Harbaugh talking about Lamar Jackson. Oh, bet the over in rushing yards this season or rushing attempts. I'm thinking to myself, what coach in the NFL gives away that sort of information? Like, who does that? Especially a coach as good as John Harbaugh. It doesn't make sense. Andrew Luck going into detail as to where the pain is and where it's located on his body and the concern he has. And he should. It feels a little bit too much information being given away, and I don't know if that's just him, you know, speaking and not thinking about it, or if it's just him trying to steer people another direction, because the Colts did do this a year ago. There were reports that came out that Andrew Luck hadn't even thrown a football, that he had not thrown a football in X amount of days, like 500 days or whatever it was. And I remember having a conversation with Brady Quinn about it. He says, "You're not believing that, are you?" I said, "Well, why wouldn't I?" He goes, "You mean to tell me that at no point he wouldn't test his surgically repaired shoulder behind closed doors with a trainer to see how his progress is?" And I thought, you know what? That's a great point. Like, what an idiot. Like, I totally bought that hook, line, and sinker, and he went out and he played really well last season. So I'm a little hesitant to buy it, but let's just say that Andrew Luck is as injured as he says he is, and it is that much of a concern. How much does that impact the Colts this season? How much is he worth of that in the Indianapolis roster?
Well, Luck is my second-rated quarterback, Jonas, but the good news for the Colts is they do have a good backup in Brissett. Even with Brissett, it would still be a 6-point downgrade for the Colts, so they would go from a clear contender to a team that isn't going to likely make the playoffs.
Yeah, and so it's something to monitor, definitely, as training camp continues to roll on as the Colts open up the season next month. All right, straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio, another quarterback situation. Situation's one way to put it. The Miami Dolphins. Their head coach, Brian Flores, says that Ryan Fitzpatrick is leading the quarterback competition right now in Miami over one Josh Rosen, recently acquired, Fez, from the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, and Rosen was projected to be the starter, and frankly, this news does not surprise me. In fact, Rosen was the one projected starter. If you ask me, how much is Rosen worth to the Miami Dolphins? I'd say he's worth -1.5 points because I have Fitzmagic being the better quarterback. The last 2 years, Fitzpatrick's numbers, advanced metrics, were right in the middle of the NFL league, and Rosen was at dead last. Now, the question becomes, how much do we blame Arizona? How much do we blame former coach Steve Wilks at Arizona? How much do we blame that horrible Arizona O-line that got injured? And how much blame do we put on Rosen for his horrendous year? I think there's a lot of blame to go around.
Yeah, but I would also say this. What do we know about Ryan Fitzpatrick? He'll come out, he'll light you up, he'll dress up as DeSean Jackson one game, and then the next game, he'll go to Kansas City and throw 6 interceptions. Josh Rosen's going to get his chance. We know what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. All right, Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to show you some really... He's Jay Cutler, except a lot of people like him. Like, that's what he is. Like, he's a streaky player, and he's talented. He can sling the football. But you know what he's going to do. He's going to regress at some point during the season. And I like Ryan Fitzpatrick, but that's a reality. But he's going to retire having made a bunch of money, and he's a great teammate and a good dude. Josh Rosen's going to get his opportunities, right, Fez?
Yeah, and the key is we know exactly what Fitzpatrick is. We don't know what we have in Rosen.
Right.
Frankly, Rosen could be out of the league in 2-3 years, or Rosen could be a solid starting quarterback in the NFL. Let's face it, amongst the rookie class, he was supposed to be the most ready quarterback to start, and he was put in such a horrible situation in Arizona. But I might make the case he's being put in a horrible situation here in Miami as well. Miami won 7 games last year, but... the wise guys will tell you that was one of the greatest coaching jobs ever to engineer 7 wins. Miami really should have only won 4 or 5. They won so many close games, and of course, the ridiculous home win against the Patriots when Gronk was playing in the secondary. It's going to be a long year in Miami regardless of who the quarterback is.
And look, there's a reason Adam Gase got hired the very next season, okay? Because the guy can coach. Everybody knows it. People are shocked that Adam Gase got a gig. Everybody knows that the guy can coach. He's got a great reputation as being a really good offensive mind. Maybe not the best interview in the world. Maybe not. In fact, there's a reason him and Jay Cutler get along so well. They're the same guy. Like, they're good friends, and there's a reason, because they're the same person. They're the same human being. Jay Cutler is the guy who bought Adam Gase a tailored suit for his job interviews. Like, they're really close for a reason, because they're the same dude. They're just not into the media stuff.
my favorite Cutler moment was when he got sacked 10 times for the Bears, and he's running out of bounds, and he just, like, throws the ball left-handed out of bounds, so disgusted at his O-line.
I love
it, man.
His
O-line picking him up after he gets sacked, looking away because they don't even want to look at him.
Listen, I will support and defend Jay Cutler. I will die on that island. So that's the hill I've chosen to die on. I will defend Jay Cutler to the end. I think he's fantastic. Like, all the backlash Jay Cutler got one time because he was in a... So he's in the bathroom. He's using the urinal. Some guy walks up to him and says, "Hey, man, I went to Vanderbilt, too." And Jay Cutler just lays his head back and goes, "Don't care." And the story makes the rounds. They make T-shirts of it. And everyone goes, "God, what a jerk. Can't even talk to the guy." Hold on a second. If I'm in the urinal and some stranger walks up to me and starts running down his resume, I'm calling the cops or I'm turning around and I'm swinging. That's a weird thing to do. So I support Jay Cutler in that. How's that? And I blame all his wide receivers for his interceptions.
I do need to disclose that I once ran up at Michael's restaurant in Vegas because I saw Coach K and he went to the bathroom and I accosted him right outside the bathroom.
Right.
So throw me in there.
All right, that is enough. I mean, at least let the guy wash his hands, for God's sakes.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Before we get to some surprising information that you can take advantage of when it comes to the NFL... We do have a best bet to hand out, and that best bet belongs to Steve Fezzik. He won his last game in Major League Baseball, so we consider that a winning streak here on Fox Sports Radio, and his best bet is in Major League Baseball again, 8 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN. The Cubs are at the Cardinals, and Chicago is a slight favorite, Fez.
And I like the Cards at even money here, Jonas. It's all about the St. Louis pitcher, Mikolas. He has been great at home the last 2 years. I'd like to tell you why he's so much more dominant at home. I can just tell you that his splits are fantastic. His earned run average just a little bit over 2 at home and not nearly as good on the road. So Mikolas is a guy I bet on when he's home. And the Cubs starter, Hendricks, very good starter for the Cubs, but Hendricks not nearly as good on the road. His splits have been great at home. Hendricks has been giving up 5 earned runs on the road this year. You add those two factors up together. I like St. Louis. I bet St. Louis plus 100 for my best bet.
All right, so there's Steve Fezzik with his best bet of the evening. Now let's transition over to the NFL. The NFL is back. Well, listen, I always think the NFL is back. The NFL is officially back, though. Tomorrow night, it is the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. It is the Broncos and the Falcons. We are hoping that they continue their winning streak, much like Fez's winning streak in Major League Baseball when it comes to best bets. They are going 1 year. They are going 1 year in a row since the field melted. So we are hoping that the NFL can continue that hot streak there in Canton, Ohio. But Fez, on the subject of preseason, we look at this and think, oh, well, you know, it's worthless. This is all about guys who are fringe players trying to make a roster. This is all about tightening things up. You know, the Rams didn't even play Jared Goff and Gurley last year in the preseason. They don't even paint some of the end zones all the way in some of these games and some of these home games. But you, in Vegas, actually love the preseason because it is worth something. Please explain.
Yeah, and it's not worth anything predictive going into the regular season. What it is worth is making money betting. And if you went ahead and interviewed a lot of the bookmakers in Vegas, you'd be shocked to hear, Jonas, they hate the preseason because it's so difficult to set the lines on these games because power ratings, how good your players are, that really doesn't matter. It's all about motivation. It's about who plays. It's about quarterback rotations and about do the coaches want to win the game?
Now, you, and you're as good as anybody, if not the best at this, you talk about getting to a line early. During the regular season, if a line comes out on Sunday night, jump on it early. If you feel like that line's going to drop at all and you can get it at the best number. In the preseason, how do you take that approach? Do you wait because you're not sure who's going to play? Do they notify or give a tell earlier on that you can jump on these games as they're staggered throughout the week from a Thursday all the way through to a Sunday?
Early on, there's two key factors I would focus on. One being prior history of the coaches. So look at Atlanta. Coach Quinn has lost his last 8 preseason games, got blown out in his last 4 games in 2018. He doesn't care. So that's a case where I think betting against Atlanta against an opening number, and we saw that in the Hall of Fame game where Atlanta has opened the favorite. Now Denver is laying 2.5 against Atlanta. Other coaches like Harbaugh, That guy just wants to win regardless. Harbaugh's won his last 13 preseason games, Jonas. That,
by the way, live betting the preseason is such a pain in the ass because you have no idea who these guys are playing the second half. Come on. That's like Russian roulette, Fez.
You got to know your quarterback rotations and which quarterbacks are the best.
Yeah, who went to a Division III school that's going to light it up in the fourth quarter.